This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning, you are listening to Failing Forward, the show where we discuss entrepreneurship mistakes and how they help us grow. My name is Audrey Raj, and with me as usual is Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sinha. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, Audrey, and we're in the station.
Yes, we are finally doing a face-to-face interview with masks, albeit. But yes, this is my first face-to-face interview for the year.
That's the kind of year it's been.
Yes. Thank you for joining me in the studio. We have some bittersweet news for you folks. This is episode 20 of Failing Forward, and it's also going to be the last episode of the series as Renu and I cook up something fresh for you in 2022. And if you want a teaser on what that might look or sound like, you're going to have to stay with us until the end of the show. Renu will give us a teaser then. But Reno, it's just you and me on this, our final recap of Failing Forward, which first took off in June 2019.
Goodness.
Right? Time flies.
Time really flies.
Yes, yeah. When you're having fun.
Yeah.
And we've been on and off again, you know, since pre-COVID days. And I know you've systematically organized how we're going to recap all our episodes and all the lessons that we've learned in a meaningful and fun way. So how are we going to do this, Reno?
So, you know, I was thinking a lot about how we were going to do this. And, you know, I think that a lot of the entrepreneurs that I picked along the way, they were picked because they had a lesson to share. They had a fail that, you know, could be built into a business lesson, but it wasn't sort of cohesive, you know. So if people weren't listening to all the episodes, or if they didn't really understand how one topic fit in with the other, I thought this was probably the best time to kind of pull that all together, so that you could actually see it comprehensively. And, you know, if then you were interested in any particular topic, you could go back to the episode and listen to it then.
Right. And we're going to try and organize our episodes focusing on startups and scale-ups, correct?
Yeah, because a lot of the fails you see when I was looking through the episodes, you know, comprehensively, there's some lessons that are very startup related, and some lessons that are more, I suppose, aligned with the scale-up journey. So I thought that was the best way to actually sort of separate and bring it all together.
Okay, so let's just start with the lessons that we've learned from the startups.
Okay, so let me give you a big picture first, and then we kind of dive deep.
Sure.
Okay, so when I was looking through the episodes, essentially, a startup's journey always starts with the idea or what do they want to do. And so I actually thought that the best way to think about that is via Renee's My Burger Lab, their episode, because you were talking about trial and error and how do you innovate. And that really is primarily how most startups actually start. It's thinking about something they want to do and then how do they go about doing it. And so that's the innovation. Either that or they see a problem that they want to solve and then think about what are the solutions that I can think of. So that's kind of the first one. Moving on from there, you develop your MVP. So this was Nadira of KidoCare, right?
Yeah.
The minimal viable product. Yeah, I was going to say
most valuable player.
So the minimal viable product really is that what can you develop that is going to help you see whether the solution actually is something that you
will
can
address
take
the pain point.
Yes, that's right. Because you got to have something to test, right? And then you go into, okay, now I've got a MVP. I need to go out into the market and see whether the market is going to respond and like it. And then comes basically product market fit.
Yeah.
Product market fit, if you remember, was actually Kyung from IGL Coatings.
Yeah.
And I mean, his story was slightly different and we can get into it later, but that's the third step, really. So you have innovation, MVP, product market fit.
Right.
So how do you test whether product market fit is there? You use metrics, right? You measure to see what the reactions are. Are people biting, etc.? So that's when we have metrics, which is the very, very first episode to kick everything off, which was Mike from PTT Outdoor.
Yeah.
After we do metrics, essentially, you have the Pareto principle.
Oh, this is one of my favorites. Yeah.
So the Pareto principle is the 80-20 rule. You can't obviously look at data or analysis and think to yourself, how do I look at this and see what do more people like rather than less? Mm. And that's where you have the 80-20 rule, right? Most of the time, you would think that it's the 80% that you look at, mm-mm, but actually, it's the 20% generally that give you everything that you need to understand about the problem. So right, that's Pareto principle. And when you understand that problem and you've understood the 80-20, then comes, I need to tweak, because it's not perfect still. And the tweaking part of it is when you pivot. And pivot was basically deep from Agiliax.
Agiliax, yeah.
So in a nutshell, those are the key areas in which startups kind of follow the journey. And I think that if there are startups out there, right, this is the best way to kind of think of a process flow in that sense, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of scale-ups out there will actually be looking at it and thinking, well, as my new product comes out, you follow the same process. So it's kind of like repetitive, right, as you go along.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you did mention there were a couple of your favorites.
Yeah.
So did you want to, like, shall we yes, just get into,
yeah,
like, some of them?
Yeah, let's just jump into it. Now, if you're listening to us and are wondering, who are these people? Well, we're actually referring to some of the episodes that we've covered on Failing Forward, you know, since June 2019. And these were some of the star guests that we had on. And I have to admit that some of my favorite episodes are part of the startup series. Kyung really stood out for me from IGL Coatings because he spoke to us about how sometimes it is best to take your market global first before it comes back to the local market. There is some value in doing that and also try to gain recognition. But, you know, it all comes down to product market fit. The product might not fit the local market
absolutely
just yet, but, you know, it will get there someday. So you might want to attack international markets first. Another favorite is, of course, the first episode with Mike from PTT Outdoor, and that's when I actually learned about the one metric that matters. And I remember asking that question in every ensuing episode after that. What was the one metric that matters for your business? Because I realized everyone had a different way to kind of measure success,
yeah,
success, right? Yeah, and of course, the Pareto principle sticks with me. I was just talking to a friend that day, and we were trying to understand how he could help increase sales of packages in his business because they do the one-off a la carte and they do the packages. And I was telling him, you know, 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers. And I know this because I heard it on Failing Forward.
You know, that really warms my heart that basically some lessons stick with you. You know?
Even if you're not an entrepreneur.
Exactly, because it is actually applicable all around. So let's go back to Kyung. Right?
Yeah.
And I think Kyung and that episode was very interesting, even for me, because, you know, as I pick all of these entrepreneurs, I sit down with them and I kind of know their journey. But, you know, doing the episodes, I have to talk to them deeper about that journey. And the one thing that I found out with Kyung was literally his journey of Yamcha. You remember his Yamcha sessions?
Yes.
So essentially, the Yamcha sessions was one of the reasons why he chose to go global, was because in order to sell his solution, which was very new in Malaysia, he would literally, you know, he thought it was possible to do it online. He thought it was possible to do it on the phone. But with Malaysian customers, especially if you are tackling a traditional industry, and for him it was detailing means workshops, right, basically.
Yeah.
So when it was that industry, he would need to go and sit and talk to the owner. Sometimes he wouldn't even get to talk to the owner. He has to talk to the guys first.
Yeah.
And then take them out for tea, slow talk. And then, you know, they keep asking him to come back and, oh, we got to talk some more. And it took him such a long time just to get one workshop, of which the margins would be so little that it really wasn't worth the while, right? Whereas for him, if he looked at a different market, and for him, it just happened to be a global market. But I think when you hear those kinds of things, and you got to recognize it as an entrepreneur, if it's taking you too long to convince your market that they need your solution, number one, it's either the wrong market, or two, you're not telling the story well enough to meet their so-called pain, right? Because solution always has to be either to meet a pain for them to say, oh my God, you really understand my pain and this is the solution I've been looking for. Or it meets a desire. Yeah. So, you know, a desire to actually connect more. So like, you know, people will talk about marketplaces or Facebook or things like that. And so the desire to basically connect is a reason that they would. So that was Kyung's journey. And it's interesting that what you took out of it was that you got to go outside first before coming back in.
Yeah.
And even that is something that is, I think, many, many, many entrepreneurs find that it's actually easier to sell outside of Malaysia because there is meritocracy. They look at you and there is no bias that you are Malaysian. You're just a product.
Mm.
Whereas there is actually in-country bias. And it's not just Malaysian, by the way, right?
Yeah.
In a lot of countries, there is that bias about products that you develop
at
in
home.
The country or at home as being inferior, you know? So that was, I think, a very important lesson.
Yes, it was. Now, we are going to take a quick break now for some messages. But when we come back, we take a look at some of the fails and learnings we discussed with scale-ups on our Failing Forward series. Stay tuned to Failing Forward, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary. Bagi Free Minum, BFM 89.9, The Business Station. Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You are listening to Failing Forward on Open for Business, where we feature real-life stories from entrepreneurs who have failed and are stronger for it. My name is Audrey Raj. Renukasena from Proficio is with me in the studio today. It is our farewell episode where we are recapping the 2.5 years of talking about and learning from some of the nation's best entrepreneurs and their early fails. Now, Renu, the first half flew by very quickly.
Just telling stories.
We're now going to move on to stories and issues that we covered with some of the scale-ups on the show over the last few years.
So, you know, just so that everyone like who's listening understands, right? The difference between startups and scale-ups is that for startups, you're coming up with a new product, you're testing the market, you're trying to understand which is your market, and then tweak the product so that then you have product market fit and you can start selling. So when you have customers or you have fairly consistent customers, this is where you no longer have to worry about the product per se, right? It's about how you grow the customers and how you grow sales. And that's really when you begin your scale-up journey. So the scale-up journey, you know, talking about customers, one of the key things everyone has to think about is really your sales funnel, right? Customer acquisition and where they're coming from. So customer acquisition is one thing. But a lot of startups, and I think this is a important lesson that we shared with Zihan from Copper. So a lot of startups actually spend most of their time, effort, and money acquiring new customers. But the lesson that we shared there with Zihan was that, yes, of course, there is a continuous effort to get new customers. But if you've already spent that money, effort, and time to get new customers, you've got to really make sure that you retain them? How do you sell more to them? So I remember there were a lot of acronyms that we used in that particular episode, which was, you know, had you squinting away at me.
LTV.
Yeah, CAC. So CAC is cost of acquisition of a customer, right? So that's how much do you spend to acquire that customer. And then you have LTV, which is the lifetime value of that customer. Mm. And really, to retain a customer and to continue to sell with them and try and stretch that period for as long as you possibly can is what the lifetime value is. And it's very interesting because every single entrepreneur, irrespective of whatever your industry is, this is true because to acquire a customer takes a lot more than to actually retain and continue to sell with them and stretch your LTV. And I think a lot of the startups that actually come through our programs, they don't see that. And it is an aha moment, or it's a wow factor, which is actually that's true, you know. And so when you think about retention and LTV, you now go to the other scale-up issue, which is who should you have on your team? You know, and this is the hunters versus, what was it?
Farmers. Not gatherers. And we did this with Brian from A1, right?
That's right. Yeah. Because you need a hunter for your acquisition. Okay. And when you talk about retention and LTV, that's when you need your farmers. Okay, so I hope, you know, those lessons, and I think seeing it this way, I hope that what the listeners are getting from it is now they understand how one fits into the other. So you've got, okay, so we've done your customer part of it, right? And we talked about the hunters and
farmers.
The farmers. Okay, and if you remember, we also had a couple of episodes on processes. Mm. So if you remember with Amy from Batik Boutique, right? We talked about people and processes. And we talked about something very similar, even with Brian, okay, about the hunters and farmers, because you've got to understand people and where they fit and what are their strengths. And it's not just people, because if you just focus on people alone and you don't put in the SOPs or the processes so that someone else can follow, right, that is also a scale-up problem. Because as people come and go, if you have to rebuild that or figure it out from scratch, you're not really growing. A scale-up has to put in place, right people in the right place, and put in processes. There is a third element, which is tech. So it's always people, process, and technology. To actually help with efficiency, with effectiveness, and to make sure that all of these are scalable. So, you know, hence it's a scale-up problem. So you have Amy talking about people and processes. And then you have Waihan about how do you continue to build the people that come into your team and grow them into management position. And I loved Waihan's episode, right? I learned so much from her in preparing for that episode because she has people, and I actually read a post that she made recently. So Waihan is from Juristech. About how someone who started with her as an intern is now actually a team leader within her organization. And Waihan spends a lot of time actually at the very, very early stages, right? Bringing in interns, teaching them, but she spends a lot of time assessing them before they come in. Like, you know, what... You remember?
Yes. The multiple hoops that you have to jump through before you get into jurisdiction.
That's right. And, you know, literally she would come in and say, okay, now write me code for something like this or give me a solution. And but that time, if you look to yourself as a leader, that time is well spent, because if you have the right people in the team, you then nurture them and you invest. Literally, you invest in them. They can grow into very loyal people and as well as be part of your journey, and they stay with you. You know, a lot of startups always say, oh, I hired someone and, you know, they've left, right? You got to ask yourself why. It's not always them. Okay, do you have the right do you have the right culture? Do you have the right processes? Are you helping that person grow? And that's quite important. So that was
talent.
Talent.
Yeah, and that was a chock-a-block episode. It was a really good one. We also did something about managing talent with Nadira and how to not micromanage talent with Nadira from KidoCare, right?
Yes, and that's very much a scale-up issue, because when you are a startup, you generally have no more than, I would say, a handful of people, right? And everybody's multitasking, the energy is high, the culture is great because you're solving a new problem. And then you achieve product market fit and you need to now scale up. And when you're scaling up and you've got these new people coming in, a lot of times startups hire very slow in the beginning because they've got to pay for it from within. But when they get investment, that's when they start hiring people. Mm. And you start hiring people, it's actually very difficult for founders or at least the initial management team to let go. And that's where the micromanagement comes in, basically, because if you dial back and you didn't have the processes, you didn't hire the right people, you didn't understand where the gaps were, you would hire thinking, I've got key roles I need to fill, right? And they come in, but you're so used to the fact that everybody does everything,
yeah,
that when you hire, you always get disappointed that, you know, they're not doing the right thing. And so when, you know, that's when you start micromanaging and you're like, I've got to check everything. And you become also the bottleneck, you know. And I personally went through that, you know, as I grew my own team. And I'm not saying that I'm no longer the bottleneck, because my team listened to me. They're like, yeah, Renu, we're still waiting for, you know, 10 things from you. But that's a different issue. And, you know, maybe we'll cover it next year. But I think that part of it is very important, because startups need to learn how to let go so that they can be effective leaders. And that was what, you know, Nadira and KidoCare's episode was all about.
Right. And then, of course, transitions at the top. One of my favorite, we did that with Nick Gunn from Egan, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Actually, before transitions at the top, I think one further thing that's important, which I think it's a very technical topic, and I personally don't like it because it has to do with money. But, and that's because these Excel sheets really is like, oh my God, I can't look at Excel sheets.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But cash flow management, if you remember,
yes,
with Jusri, and how he had to actually let go of people, he had to go and beg his customers for better sort of payment terms. You had to renegotiate payment terms with people you had to pay. So that's cash flow management, you know. And again, I think it fits nicely into the process where we talk about you get investment and you start hiring, but you can't just go and hire because you've got investment, because if your products are not selling, you're going to be using up this money really quickly. And that's why you find a lot of startups have to raise some more and raise some more and raise some more.
Right, right. Okay. And transitions at the top. Yes.
Yes. And this is, I think, much, much later. So you have, you know, probably about 3 to 4 years of being a scale up. And even yesterday, I heard one of the startups that were with us in CGP in season 2, which is all the way back in 2016. He's listed his company, and now he no longer wants to be CEO. He wants to go back to the product and the innovation side and look at what are the next big thing within the company. And so he hired a professional CEO, right? But Nick's case was slightly different, which was basically a family-run business. And a family-run business where he had to take over from his father, who was literally seen as the guru, right? And how do you actually live up to all of those expectations and build trust again? And I think that with Nick, it was really interesting because he started a brand new culture and he felt very alone because he had to reteach everything. He brought in a lot of young blood and because he liked being around young people. But over time, as a leader, I think you have to, one, anticipate that maybe you've outlived your, I wouldn't say usefulness, I would say more of your time with the company, you know? And you have to think about where else would I be better served? Like this, like Jeff from FlexiRoom, even though he wasn't covered in the episodes. But you've got to think about that. And then whoever it is that's coming to take on this new role has to think about, I cannot keep doing what the old CEO did.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're then always going to be compared.
Yes.
So I've got to come in and do something completely different, show that I can make a difference and grow the company, and over time get that respect, you know. So that was transitions at the top.
Yes, it was. We also had some more general issues that we covered, you know, throughout the 2.5 years on Failing Forward. And one was the most recent one that we did with Shi Yong,
yes.
Which is staying the course or staying the cause. And the other was how sometimes you're just born global.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, and that was with Thomas. Thomas from Radica Software is is my all-time hero. Because he came into, I suppose, my ecosystem as a company that, you know, was so, he was, I suppose, something unexpected, because he doesn't come across as this high-flying kind of guy who talks like, you know, nonstop or really dynamic in nature. But he, when he starts talking, right, it's very, very much deep and technical and well thought out.
Mm.
And with Thomas, I think the reason we did that episode of Born Global is that there's some businesses, especially online businesses, that when you start, you got to think about not the traditional route of I've got to build, I've got to test Malaysian market, I've got to see and sell, which is the journey Kyung went through,
yeah, yeah.
Right? Thomas, I think maybe because he was a mature entrepreneur, decided, I'm just going to sell online from day one, because the type of people who are going to use my software are engineers all around the world,
mm.
You know. And with Shi Yong and the staying the course, I think as you scale up and as you grow, you're going to always hear different messages, but you've got to be true to your brand, your objective, your purpose. And do what you need to do. And that was, you know, staying the course.
Staying the course. If you're listening to us right now and you're an entrepreneur, I'm sure some part of this discussion would have resonated with you. And if you want to catch up on any of our episodes of Failing Forward, you can do so on our website, bfm.my. You can also find all the Failing Forward episodes on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Just go look for Failing Forward. There is a link there for you to access all the episodes. So you can actually scroll down and take a look, read the descriptions, and I guarantee you, there are plenty of learnings, meaningful learnings there to learn from some of the best entrepreneurs that Malaysia has to offer. Now, Reino, just before we go, do you have any final thoughts or anything that you'd like to say after 2.5 years of this journey on Failing Forward with us at BFM?
I think it's been a really, really meaningful journey. It forced me to look at a lot of the entrepreneurs that came through our various programs in Proficio, and find the lessons
mm.
and build those lessons into something that everyone could understand and not just technology entrepreneurs. So it's been very, very meaningful for me. I've gotten to know all of these guys so much better now because I've had all of those deep conversations with them. And really, I want to thank you for giving me that freedom to just look for whoever and come up with the episode and the lessons that we learned. So thank you so much, Audrey.
No, thank you for doing all the hard work for me. I have to say that, you know, I do not have a business background, you know, and all of this is very new to me. And I've learned so much journeying on Failing Forward with you over the last 2.5 years. And some of these guys have actually become friends, you know, that we meet outside of work. So I have to thank you for that. So helping to make those connections. And for all the learnings and for, you know, helping me better understand the entrepreneurship ecosystem. So thank you, Reino. And thank you to the Proficio team as well for all the running around over the years as well. So a big thank you for that.
My pleasure.
And on that note, once again, thank you, Reino, for all you shared with us today and over the course of our series. And for listeners who are going to miss this series, maybe you want to give them a bit of a teaser on what to expect, what we're working on for 2022. Don't give too much away, though.
So I think it's still going to be entrepreneur stories, but the angle of the stories actually reflects my own personal journey and where I am now. You know, having worked with so many thousands of entrepreneurs, I think that the ones that resonate the most with me, it could just be that, you know, it's where I am in my life at the moment, but the ones that resonate the most with me are the ones that are creating impact. And whether they are creating impact by providing gig jobs, or whether they are saving the environment, or, you know, or whether it's about planting trees. Those kind of things really, really resonate with me. Not just because of my stage of life at the moment, but I think, you know, we have kids and we're going to be leaving this planet to them, and we've got to teach them about it.
Yes.
So in order for me to sort of blend both worlds and provide them with that, I think those entrepreneurs need a voice. And I'm hoping to be that voice.
Right. And you will, of course, always have some key takeaways and learnings from each episode, right?
Yes.
Because that's the Reno way.
You've trained me well. I can't look at it any other way now.
All right. In the meantime, for more information on Proficio and their C-level intervention programs, their website is proficio.com. And you can also visit scaleup.my for the details on their accelerator program as well. And on that note, I've been speaking with the Chief Explorer at Proficio, Renuka Sena. My name is Audrey Raj, and this has been Failing Forward on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with BossBelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.